So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, entitled, King Paranjan Goes to the Forest to Hunt. Text 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Antaparastriya Prichat Vimanaiva Vedishat Apiva Kushalam Ramaha Sheshvarinam Yatapura. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. At that time, King Paranjan was a little anxious and he inquired from the household women, "My dear, beautiful women, are you and your mistress all very happy like before, or not?" So, please repeat after me. At that time, King Paranjan was a little anxious, and he inquired from the household women, "My dear, beautiful women, are you and your mistress all very happy like before, or not?" Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this verse, the word Vedishat indicates King Pachinibahi. When a man becomes refreshed by association with devotees and awakes to Krishna consciousness, he consults the activities of his mind, namely thinking, feeling, and willing, and decides whether he should return to his material activities or stay steady in spiritual consciousness. The word kushalam refers to that which is auspicious. One can make his home perfectly auspicious when he engages in devotional service to Lord Vishnu. When one is engaged in activities other than Vishnu Bhakti, or in other words, when one is engaged in material activities, he is always filled with anxieties. A sane man should consult his mind, its thinking, feeling, and willing processes, and decide how these processes should be utilized. Excuse me. If one always thinks of Krishna, feels how to serve him, and wills to execute the order of Krishna, it should be known that he has taken good instruction from his intelligence, which is called the mother. Although the king was refreshed, he nonetheless inquired about his wife. Thus he was consulting, thinking, and willing how he could return to his steady good consciousness. The mind may suggest that by vishaya bhoga, or sense enjoyment, one can become happy. But when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, he does not derive happiness from material activities. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 2:59. Vishaya vinivartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjam rasopyasya paramdristva nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. One cannot be unattached to the sense objects unless he finds better engagement in devotional service. Paramdristva nivartate. One can cease from material activities only when one actually engages in devotional service. So verse again, Antapura Striyo Prichat Vimana Iva Vedishat Apiva Kushalam Rama Shishvarinam Yatapura. At that time King Paranjan was a little anxious, and he inquired from the household women, "My dear beautiful women, are you and your mistress all very happy like before, or not?" So this chapter is called King Paranjan Goes to the Forest to Hunt. So this going to the forest to hunt is described earlier on as being like getting into the mode of ignorance. So he's basically left behind his good intelligence and he's gone just to enjoy himself, enjoy his senses in the forest of delusion. And he started to kill many animals mercilessly. Because when you get into the mode of ignorance, that's what happens. You start doing things which are not very favorable either to yourself or to others. Because you have no compassion, no mercy, no sensitivity to the sufferings of others. So going to the forest to hunt is described as getting into the mode of ignorance. So when you get into the mode of ignorance, anxiety comes. At that time, King Paranjan was a little anxious, it says in the verse. So, because even though we may be in ignorance, there's still something in the heart which is thinking something's not quite right here. I'm not really satisfied. So anxiety's there. And that's the nature of sense gratification, actually, that it doesn't give happiness, it brings misery. So the three points I wanted to bring up in the purport. The first one is that King Prachinibahi, he got into ignorance, and most of us, most people, the majority of people, I would say, are in the mode of ignorance before they come to Krishna consciousness. But Srila Prabhupada says, when a man becomes refreshed by association with devotees and awakes to Krishna consciousness, he consults the activities of his mind. But the first point is, becomes refreshed by association with devotees. So the association of devotees is very refreshing. And maybe sometimes we may take the association of devotees after we've been in the association for some time. We may take it for granted. So sometimes, therefore, Krishna arranges us to go into the forest of delusion, and then we realize that actually the devotees are very special, very wonderful. Like sometimes we can't actually accept philosophy so much. Like sometimes when I get into the mode of ignorance, which I can assure you happens quite often, more often than not, unfortunately. Jai Shri Shri Goni Tai Ki Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Shama Sunda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki that philosophy doesn't always help because it doesn't always sit in the heart. Anyway, this is my experience, that I know the theory, but somehow or other the heart or the mind just doesn't accept it. And so at that time, usually I try to appeal to my better intelligence, which says actually the devotees are the people who are leading the best lives, the purest lives, the most elevated lives. They're trying, even if they're not perfect, and they're not yet maybe totally transcendental, but still, even if they're not, we don't know, of course, I don't know, I can't tell who's transcendental, who's not, not being on that platform myself. But they are leading the best life that you can find anywhere in this world, to my knowledge, anyway. Just attempting to follow such a strict lifestyle, not harming others, especially other weaker, vulnerable living entities, animals and other creatures. Devotees, they're one of the first things they do is actually give up this propensity to exploit others. So then this gives some faith that, yeah, although I may not always understand, I may not really always appreciate the philosophy, the finer points of the philosophy, I can understand that devotees are the best people. And even if they're not yet, they've not yet reached the most elevated platform, they and myself, hopefully, also in the shower, we're getting purified. We're trying to do something about it. So this is very comforting. So devotees, by giving association to a man or a woman, any person who's in the forest of delusion, in the mode of ignorance, refreshes. Just like one devotee, Gadadhar Priya Prabhu, was saying earlier about refreshing. He was saying how the Harinam in the metro, the underground of Paris, refreshes everybody. They just start chanting in the trains. And the people who look miserable, going to work, another day of hard toil, which they don't enjoy at all, but they become refreshed and enlivened. And this is our experience all over the world, actually, that people do become refreshed and enlivened by the association of devotees. And of course, devotees, a devotee acquires all good qualities. And by the devotee's association, Krishna consciousness awakens in the heart of those tired, fatigued, anxious living entities who are suffering in the mode of ignorance and passion. So, then the next point is that we have a choice. We can take it up at that point. This is what Srila Prabhupada says, and decides whether he should return to his material activities. So we meet so many people, devotees meet so many people, but how many actually take advantage of that association they get? Very few, unfortunately. Because they make a decision whether they should return to the material activities or stay steady in spiritual consciousness. Of course, once a devotee has been met by a person, then that's, in all likelihood, the end of their, or the beginning of their spiritual life anyway. The beginning of the end of their sense gratification and the beginning of the spiritual life. But, in actual fact, we have to make, just like Purusha Prabhu was saying yesterday, we have to continuously make this decision. Keep surrendering, re-surrendering, he was saying, something like that. Keep surrendering. Like every day, every moment, we have to keep trying, because actually this mind is full of impressions. What are they called? Vritti, is it? Impressions? Samskaras. I think there's another word, vritti, also. Impressions in the which are, have accumulated, millions of them. And so, when Prabhupada says he consults the activities of his mind, namely thinking, feeling, and willing, to my understanding, this means that he is observing the mind and its processes. What's happening? Because we often hear, we're not the body. But actually I remember, even before I knew anything about Krishna consciousness, I was suffering really badly actually at some point. Everything materially was fine. I had a good job in the city of London as an accountant. I had a house, family, holidays abroad, all this kind of thing. But I was still suffering like anything because I was in the mode of ignorance. But I had one day, I remember being in my office, hating every minute of it. Suddenly, I don't know where it came from, but this realization came. This has got nothing to do with me. Either this body or the mind. Somehow or other, the realization was given to me that actually this suffering that's going on in the mind, because physically I was okay, more or less, it's actually, that's got nothing to do with me. So I now take that as being a great benediction to realize actually that not only are we not this mind, not this body, we're also not this mind. The mind is just like a machine. And it can be programmed like a computer. Unfortunately, up until now, it's mostly been programmed sense gratification or impressions of the material nature. This delusion, forest of delusion, which Srila Prabhupada says in, or the, which Krishna says actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, that we have to get out of. So he says, Yadate moha kalilam buddhya vyati tarishyati tadagantasi nirvedam shrota vyasya shrutasya cha. When your intelligence has passed out of the dense forest of delusion, you shall become indifferent to all that has been heard and all that is to be heard. Because we were hearing that Paranjan's wife, Paranjani, was actually dharmic intelligence. But this doesn't necessarily mean it's transcendental. because there's this dense forest of delusion, Krishna carries on and says, in the next verse, Shruti viprati pranate yadastas yasti nishchala samada vachala buddhish tada yogam avapsisi. When your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowery language of the Vedas, and when it remains fixed in the trance of self-realization, then you will have attained the divine consciousness. So, he's saying the flowery language of the Vedas, and even earlier on, actually, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's also emphasized. So, many times in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he's saying, men of small knowledge are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So the intelligence is actually being used to enjoy in a bona fide way, but it's still the forest of delusion. Because Krishna carries on to say, can't turn the pages, my hands are too cold. Bhogaishvarya pasaktanam taya parasita chetasam vyavasayatmaka buddhi samado navidiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. The Vedas mainly deal with the subject of the three modes of material nature. So even dharmic intelligence is not sufficient because they're still dealing with the three modes of material nature, Krishna says. So, he exhorts Arjuna to rise above these modes, be transcendental to all of them, be free from all dualities and from all anxieties for gain and safety, and be established in the self. So, this is what we have to do, because the mind is just like that computer. It can be reprogrammed and reprogrammed. It's also, I've thought of an example, it's like a chameleon. Do you have chameleons in India? Are there chameleons? Do you know what a chameleon is? It's like a big lizard, a bit bigger than the general lizards you see here indoors. It's like fatter and it's got big eyes. But I grew up some of my time in North Africa, in Libya, which is mostly desert. So I think they live in deserts. So we saw a lot of chameleons there. But a chameleon is famous for being able to change its color. So if it's on a green leaf, it'll be green. If it's on the brown or golden sand, it'll turn brown or golden, like that. Any color, more or less, I believe. I'm not sure, but practically any color it can take on. So the mind is like that, actually. It takes on whatever it's associating with. Just like Prabhupada's example of the iron. It either can be red hot if it's put in fire, so it becomes fire, or it can become ice cold if it's put on ice. So the mind is very susceptible. And a chameleon, why does it change color? To protect itself, to take shelter, so that it's not so vulnerable. So the tendency of the mind is always to fit in with its association. So this is it's a beneficial thing if used in the right way. Like for instance, children. It's noticeable that children are completely at the mercy of their surroundings. They will take on the influences that they're surrounded by automatically. What else can they do? Nothing. They're totally at the mercy of the people and the environment that surrounds them. Now, if they have a good environment, they have good people bringing them up, good parents, then that's an advantage, because they absorb everything good that they're being given, that they're receiving from that environment. But unfortunately, if they're not so good, then also, like that chameleon, they take on the bad qualities. And then, so therefore, childhood is so important. It's essential that actually children get a good start in life. Otherwise, it's a very difficult job to unprogram the mind. I mean, I can speak from personal experience, because I didn't come to Krishna consciousness until I was in my 40s. And therefore, so many impressions in the mind which have to be unprogrammed. And unfortunately, they call them computer bugs or program bugs. So you have to debug the program. So unfortunately, for many of us, there are not just a few bugs in the program, but billions of them. And it's very difficult to deal with them. You cannot deal with them by analysis. Like going to a psychotherapist or something and just trying to bring everything up and out. That's the theory is that you, if you just become aware and then you deal with it, you let go of it. But how, even in this one lifetime, you can't possibly do that. There's just too many. There's too much. There's more and more and more. And it's not possible to get to the root of every impression that we have in the mind. So fortunately, we have the best process, because we have the scrubbing brush to clean the mind. We don't actually need to really examine every minute detail of what's going on in the mind. We just clean it, cheto dharpana marjanam, by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this is the most effective means in this life to be able to deal with the mind. Of course, thinking, feeling, and willing, Krishna explains in the process, actually, of how things work, how we fall down, again in the second chapter. Jayato vishayan pungsa, sangaste shupajayate, sangat sanjayate karma, karma krodha vijayate. While contemplating the objects of the senses, so that corresponds to the thinking side of things. So just by thinking about something, contemplating the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. It's just an automatic process. Just like that chameleon, the chameleon doesn't think about, I'm sitting on a green leaf, now I must change myself, become green, so that I'm not vulnerable to predators. No, it just happens. I'm sure they don't have to go through some process. It just happens. They don't think, right, now I start with my left toe and work up, all that kind of thing. No, it's just an automatic process that nature provides. So the mind is like that. It's part of nature, actually. Nature's workings. So just by contemplating, thinking about the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them. And I don't know about you, but it's certainly my experience that's what happens. You know, and so many attachments are there from past. Just like I went to Lloyd's Bazaar a week or two back. Lloyd Bazaar. And the TV happened to be on. And what was on the TV at that time? Cricket. The test match. England playing India. So in my mind. Because I was brought up playing cricket, believe it or not. And if you have, like Adi Purushpa was saying, if you have a little ability at something, I was somehow or other had a little ability playing cricket. So I was immediately drawn to the TV, watched a few balls being bowled. And one of the shopkeepers says, "Oh, England are winning." So I said, "Yes!" but actually, it's consigned to history now. So useless, actually. although it did have a use in my life, because at one point I became a coach before I knew anything about Krishna consciousness, I can assure you, because I had a son who was about 10 at the time. And he somehow or other got interested in playing cricket. So I joined a local cricket club in England. And then whilst that was happening, somehow or other I went to the temple in London, Sri Sri Radha Landanishwara temple, the most merciful. I'm biased, of course. And I got a Bhagavad Gita. And so I started saying to my son, if you really want to be good at cricket, you have to let go of the result. You have to just let Krishna is the ability in man. So just think about that and just try and let Krishna play your strokes. And don't be attached to the result. If he wants, then you know, you'll score runs. If not, then you won't. Of course, this is probably pretty incomprehensible to those of you who don't come from a cricket-playing nation. So I apologize for that. But anyway, the point is that actually it was really good coaching. And my son actually took it on board. And eventually, he actually became a devotee as well. I don't know if it was probably just that. He's a much better devotee than I am. So probably he was just waiting for the opportunity. But anyway, somehow or other I was able to. So anything can be actually engaged, like Adi Purush was saying yesterday, engaged, offered to Krishna. So I don't think I quite got that far, actually, about offering your play to Krishna. But still, it was along those lines. So it definitely worked. Anyway, a couple more points I'll move on to in this purport. And one is a very important point, and that is that Srila Prabhupada says, if I can find the part of the purport, that about actually home life. The mind may suggest that by Vishaya Bhoga or sense enjoyment one may become happy, but when one becomes advanced in Krishna consciousness, he does not derive happiness from material activities. Maybe it's not in this verse, but it's around here anyway. But the point is that of course this is about Puranjan being in family life, and you know he's attracted to his wife and reliant on her in many ways, and there's some very strong statements earlier about this. But the point I wanted to make was that Srila Prabhupada says in the 13th chapter, verses 8 to 12, that list of the items of knowledge, he says about abandoning attachment to, I'll find the purport, because part of knowledge is not being attached. Non-attachment to children, wife, home, and the rest. So then, in the purport to that, Srila Prabhupada explains what is meant by this. As for detachment from children, wife, and home, it is not meant that one should have no feeling for these. They are natural objects of affection, but when they are not favorable to spiritual progress, then one should not be attached to them. Then he gives the best process for making the home pleasant in Krishna consciousness. So, Puranjan may be in the forest of delusion, or he may be coming back home and then being very attached to his wife. And that's natural. But Srila Prabhupada gives the formula. He says, if one is in full Krishna consciousness, he can make his home very happy. So it's not like everybody has to leave home. Because this process of Krishna consciousness is very easy. You only need to do four things. Does everybody know what those four things are? Do you remember from this purport? Sorry? Right, no, in this purport, I mean, what you say is correct, of course, man-mana bhava mad-bhakto. But in this purport, he's saying, you do four things, if you're in family life, you do these four things, you don't have to leave family life. One, you chant Hare Krishna. So he says, the family members, let's go a bit earlier. One need only chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Accept the remnants of food, so offer your food. So if you have deity or even a picture at home, you offer your food to Krishna and then take them as remnants. Have some discussion on books like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And the fourth thing is? No, that's not what he says here. I mean, basically that is association. If your family are devotees, then that is association. It's deity worship. So these four things, if you just engage, if you can engage yourself and your families in these four things, chanting Hare Krishna, ideally together to some extent, offering your whatever you eat first of all to Krishna, and then take them as remnants, thinking that Krishna actually is the owner of this household. Thirdly, discussing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam together, not just having Bhagavad Gita on the shelf or just reading it individually, but reading it together. Like there's one couple in, you may have heard of Krishnadharma Prabhu. He's the author of the English, or at least one version of the English Mahabharata and Ramayana. Krishnadharma. You may even have it here, I don't know. And his wife, Chintamani Dham, Madhuji, they have developed a very nice sangha between themselves originally, but now they are teaching others how to do it. How a husband and wife or family members can sit down and study scrutinizingly Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. And they describe it, it's like mining. Like everybody actually has realizations in this, in Krishna, in actual fact. Because after all, the soul is Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prema. It's always perfect and always full of love of Krishna. So it just needs to be brought out. So by engaging in this process of reading together and trying to understand scrutinizingly together, and it's very good in small groups. Of course, it's in a big group is one thing, but in a small group of one or two or three or four, but it, you have more opportunity to really discuss at length. And then this is so valuable because then it's like you find the gold that's inside. You can look on a Krishnadharma Prabhu has a website which you can look at for this. It's quite simple, really. It's just a question of listening and reflecting back. Are you saying this? And then you know, explaining what you said is this. And then the other person may say, well, no, what I actually meant was this. And then more and more realizations come. It's very nice. That's how family life should be, actually. Just to finish off, actually, that point, that what Prabhupada says. If one can mold his family life in this way to develop Krishna consciousness, following these four principles, then there is no need to change from family life to renounce life. But if it is not congenial, not favorable for spiritual advancement, then family life should be abandoned. So that's the principle there. The final point, which I haven't really got much time for going into, was basically that Srila Prabhupada was saying that we have to have a higher taste. In order to give up the lower impressions that are coming up in the mind all the time, we have to get a higher taste. So we've really got to somehow or other start to relish Sri Krishna's Radha and Krishna's pastimes and the holy name, realizing that actually the holy Krishna's holy name is Krishna, and when we're chanting his holy name, then we're associating with Krishna, and all his qualities, his beautiful form, his beautiful qualities, his beautiful pastimes, they actually are there. So we should have that understanding that actually if I persevere with enthusiasm, with confidence, and with patience, then ultimately I will see those beautiful pastimes. And then I will be fully satisfied. And then everything else, whether it's cricket or any other form of sense gratification, becomes insignificant. And we can therefore give it up. So it's 9 o'clock, so I'll stop there. If there's any questions or comments and realizations, Prabhuji. So the question is, sometimes we're in the association of devotees, but we're not actually associating with the devotees. Well, we have to realize that it is a very important, just I think like was it yesterday and maybe the day before, it was emphasized that association, sadhu sangha, is actually the first principle of Krishna consciousness. So we have to make time. You have to find ways and means of doing it. And that depends on your circumstances. But you have to find ways. Even if it's just while you're taking prasadam, of course we should be honoring prasadam, but we must make opportunities to be able to associate deeply with devotees. And actually this is one of our main things, to develop deep relation, loving, affectionate relationship with devotees. And if that's not happening, then obviously we're going to be dissatisfied and our mind is going to start to wander. So brahmacharis, because it's a brahmachari asking this question, they should find ways in which they can develop deep relationships. It's not that you're going to necessarily develop deep and loving relationships with everyone, because you have different natures. So when you just have to explore. Relationships are not made overnight. So you have to be patient also. You have to work at it. It takes work. Any relationship takes work. There has to be give and take. You know, there has to be some understanding of how to develop a relationship, a proper relationship. And it's not a formula that, you know, you know the temple president or the temple commander can just, right, I mean, they can help and in whatever way and provide opportunities. But ultimately, we have to take responsibility. Actually, this is our whole purpose, because it's our relationship with Krishna that we really, ultimately, we have to restore. And we can practice with the devotees, because Krishna is very happy if we have loving relationships amongst ourselves. So there's not an easy answer. We just have to make it a priority. And whatever we focus on, whatever priority we give, that will come. Because Krishna, when we make that commitment, Krishna, he will help. And he will send that association. He will send give you the intelligence how you can develop loving relationships. But you shouldn't shy away from that. We need to have loving relationships. Without that, then we will never be satisfied. So it's a long subject, but you know, keep thinking about it.
Hi Krishna.
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank you for this very wonderful class, especially because it's very relevant. Hearing somebody who's had a lot of experience in the world, who takes to Krishna consciousness and makes the points very clearly and very relevant. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your encouragement. Trying to actually follow in Adi Purusha's footsteps, and I was just praying that I could actually have the attitude of just offering something to Krishna. Even my false ego, which unfortunately is very prominent, but thank you for your encouragement anyway. It's only the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Any other points? Yes, Prabhuji.
Prabhu, you made a point earlier. Thank you for the wonderful class. And you spoke about parents bringing up devotee children.
Yeah.
But the association with the parents and the children. But how do you protect your children against association when they have to go to school and they are going to have influence of children in the material world? How do you guard against that and shield them, knowing that they have to associate and interact with these children?
Well, at Bhaktivedanta Manor, where I'm currently staying, there's some very wonderful children who come to Mangalati with their parents, or at least with the mother, because the father's going off to work early, so it's difficult. But have been doing so for years, playing mridanga at 8, 9, and things like that, wonderfully well, and things like that. So that's one thing. Of course, you shouldn't force them too much if it's difficult. But also taking an example from England, you sound like you may be from, where are you from? South Africa. So in England, parents have become, they have started schools, Krishna Avanti schools. So, and these schools are actually maintained by the state. So the parents don't have to pay for that. All the salaries of the teachers and everything, they're all paid by the government. But because in South Africa, how it works, the education system, but in England, there's an opportunity for parents to get together and form their own schools. They're called free schools, or there's some other name, I forget what it is. So they can actually run their school themselves. So the original Krishnamurti school, which was started in northwest London, they have beautiful deities, Krishna Balaram deities actually. Really, really, I think it's Krishna Balaram, really beautiful. I've only been there once and it was some time ago. So, and they have prasadam cooked by devotees. And as yet, unfortunately, there's not enough devotee teachers so that they're all devotees. So there's some other teachers, but they're always favorable and they have to follow the ethos of the school. So I would encourage parents with young children to see if there's a way that they can do that, start their own schools, and they may even get state funding for it, which makes it actually a perfect thing, because then devotees, grihasthas, can qualify as teachers and they can teach devotee children, and then that is an economic base for Krishna consciousness as well, especially if it's paid for by the state. So in England they're starting to grow. There was one original Krishnamurti school which started, I don't know how long ago it was now, about 4 or 5 years ago. Now there's 4 or 5, and there's more planned in different parts of the country, of the UK. So this is a wonderful way that you can do it. And that would be such a contribution. Actually, the main promoter of this, the devotee who originally started this, he doesn't really do much else. I'm sure he does actually, but his main focus is the schools, because it's a big endeavor actually. But there's an example there. If you want to learn about how to do it, you can correspond there's a website also, Krishnamurti, or Avanti House they call it now, and you can contact these people. How can we do this? It's different in different countries, the situation, but that's one way anyway. Apart from that, there's a Krishna Club. Bhaktivedanta Manor, they have a Krishna Club which has been going for many years, where on Sundays they go, the children go, and then they get to... The main thing is their friends. If they're devotees, if their main friends are devotees, then that's the most important thing. Anyway, it's also a big subject, so shouldn't... But I hope that, hopefully that's a few ideas for you. But don't be afraid if you... get together with some other parents and have a look at what you could do together, and that would make a big difference. Because actually it's so important, children, because if you have a good start in life, you're set up for life. If you don't have a good start, it's a very difficult thing in life. So children are so important. So I personally feel this service of starting Krishna conscious schools is really very, very, very important. Of course, here we've got an example of Gurukul and things like that as well. So, but that's a slightly different thing. Any other questions or realizations or comments anybody would like to make? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Sarav Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.